Okay, we're going to begin here on the bottom of Samach Zayin Amud Bet, by the beginning of the new Perek. The Perek is really what would have been, or you would have expected to be, the introduction to the Gemara Shabbat. This is the way you would have expected it to begin. This Mishnah, and obviously the subsequent Mishnah, give you most of the details or the assumptions that you need to know for the remainder of the Masechta. So we begin here. Klal Gadol Amru B'Shabbat. They established a principle, a big principle, a general principle, a great principle with regards to Shabbat. Kol Shulcheach Ikar Shabbat Ve'asa Melachot Harbei B'Shabbatot Harbei. Someone who has no idea about Shabbat at all. As Rashi says, Kasavur in Shabbat B'Torah. He has no clue of Shabbat min Torah, and he does many Melachot over many Shabbatot. Eino Chayav Ela Chatat Achat. He only has to bring one Chatat to be mechaper for that mistake, as Rashi says, v'karban nashogeg ka'ati. He had one forgetting. You bring the korban for that forgetting. The only thing you didn't know was that there was Shabbat. You didn't forget that there were melachot. You didn't forget multiple times there was a Shabbat. There was only one thing that you were missing. That was the information that there was a Shabbat. Then the second one is, heodea ikar Shabbat, someone who knows about Shabbat, Vasa melachot harbei b'shabbatot harbei, does many melachot over multiple Shabbatot, chayav al kol Shabbat v'shabbat. There he is chayav for every Shabbat that he violated. So over here he had learnt about Shabbat, he knows about Shabbat, but then he forgot. He forgot about Shabbat, he forgot today was Shabbat, but again, the only forgetting that he had was that the day was Shabbat. He didn't forget about doing this melacha, that melacha, he just didn't know it was Shabbat. Rashi over here says that it's sufficient that the days in between, hayamim, that sit between each Shabbat, to separate out the Shabbat. There's no way, Rashi says, that he can go through a week without knowing that the subsequent Shabbat is Shabbat. And that's why your chayav will call Shabbat v'Shabbat. You missed, forgot about this Shabbat, then you have 6 days in between, there's no way you didn't realize that there was a Shabbat coming up, or a Shabbat that had passed, and that counts as the yediyah, to separate each Shabbat into a separate Aveira. Tosafot disagrees. Tosafot challenges Rashi on this point and says, Yediyah means you know you did something wrong. It's not enough that you have Yediyah, or there's some sort of subconscious awareness that you're in a weekday versus a weekend, or weekday versus Shabbat. That's not enough to separate between the Shabbatot. You actually have to know that you did an Aveira in order to terminate that Korban, or that Shogeg, and start the next Shogeg. You have to have knowledge that you did something wrong. Therefore, he says that he doesn't think Rashi is right here with regards to the fact that the days in between are sufficient to make it into separate karbanot. Then we have the last.
But then what is, how does
he
explain the fact that you
have that? He remembers in between. Right? So, Ayodea Ikar, Ayodea Shu Shabbat. He knows it's Shabbat, Vasam Melachot Harbei B'Shabbatot Harbei. He does multiple Melachot on multiple Shabbatot. Here, he knows it's Shabbat. He just doesn't know that this melacha is problematic. Then, chayav al kol av melacha u'melacha. Then he's chayav on each av melacha, each one of the 39 categories of melachot that we'll establish in the subsequent Mishnah, he'll be chayav chatat for each one of those categories. As Rashi points out, he says, well, this is different than the previous case for a number of reasons. One is that in the previous case, he just forgot it was Shabbat, nothing else. Over here, he knows it's Shabbat, he forgets the melachot, so there could be multiple forgettings over here. In addition to that, not only does he have multiple forgettings with regards to the melachot, he also has multiple forgettings from Shabbat to Shabbat. Why don't we say, like we said in the previous case, well, he has the weekdays in between, that should be enough. So Rashi says, that's not sufficient, that isn't sufficient in order to do that, because by the day of Shabbat, it's enough to have an awareness that there are weekdays in between. On the other hand, by this case, where he doesn't know that it's a melacha, he comes to next Shabbat, there's no reason to believe that the week in between helped him remember that it was a melacha. As Rashi says, he's got to go to the rabbi and learn. There's no way for him to know that it's a melacha until he changes something within his knowledge base or his awareness. Not something that happens naturally. It's not a sequence of 6 days Shabbat, 6 days Shabbat, where you could say, oh, the 6 days automatically he'll remember it's Shabbat. So therefore, we don't say that each Shabbat is considered to be a separate entity over here. Therefore, he brings 39 korbanot for each of the av melachot that he violated. So in this sequence here, you have 1, 2, and 3. And number one, you're going to bring one korban over his entire life, no matter how many Shabbatot and how many melachot. And the second category, he's going to bring a korban for every Shabbat that he violated. And in the third case, he's going to bring a korban for every melacha that he violated, or every av melacha that he violated. Now the Mishnah qualifies that a little bit and says, "Oseh melachot arbei me'ein melacha achat." If you do multiple melachot that are similar to one melacha, enu chayav elo achatat achat. You're only chayav one chatat. So here, this is a rule with regards to av and a toldah. Gemara will discuss this later, discusses in other places in Baba Kama, that you have avot and toladot. What's the difference between an av and a toldah? So the Gemara thinks, so maybe for an av you're chayav a chatat, for a toldah you're not. That's not the case. You're chayav a chatat both for an av and for a toldah. If you do two avot, you're chayav a chatat on each one of these avot. You do two toladot, you're chayav a chatat on each toladah. So what is the difference? The difference is, if you do a toldah of an av, if you do something that is a derivative of the main av, so if you do the av and its toldah, you only have to bring one chatat. It's under the subcategory, it's subsumed under that category that is given by the av malacha. So if you have an av malacha, and then you do whatever toldah sits under it, or even if you do multiple toladot under it, since they're subsumed under the primary part of that category, you'll only bring one chatat. And that's what it says here. If you do multiple toladot under one av, then you can only bring one korban when you violated the av as well. Yes, everything here has to be bishogeg. You only bring a korban chatat when you're in violation of bishogeg. Violation of bimezid, you're either chayav karet on Shabbat, if there are no edim, and no hatra'ah. If you have hatra'ah and edim, then you chayav skila on Shabbat. So here, we're talking about all cases of shogeg. Now the Gemara says, "My time, Tana, klal gadol." Why did the Mishnah begin with klal gadol? That implies that there must be a klal katan. So if you have one klal gadol, where is the klal katan? Ilim mishum to kibay the mitnei old klal acher. Is that because there is another klal, which there is later on in the perek? After we go through the 39 melachot, there's another klal about carrying on Shabbat. So maybe this is klal gadol in reference or in contrast to that klal, to that principle over there. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's the case, we've got to be Shvi'it, Nami. In Shvi'it, we have a similar setup in the Mishnayot. Mishum dekabai lemitnei, od klal acher, tana klal gadol. Since in Shvi'it, there are also two Mishnayot. One Mishnah that begins klal gadol, and another Mishnah that begins just with the qualification klal. So now I know klal gadol is because there's always a contrast or additional Mishnah that says klal. The problem now arises, v'hagavi maser. By maser, we have the tani klal acher, klal gadol. By Maaser, we have two klalot, and yet none of them or neither of them is called klal gadol. So that can't be what generates the lashon of klal gadol in the Mishnah, is because there's an additional klal somewhere else later in the Perek, somewhere else later in the Masechta. So that can't be it, because by Maaser, that fails the test. So Amar Rav Yosi bar Avin, Shabbat u'shvi'it, de'it behu avot v'toladot, tana gadol. So by Shabbat and Shvi'it, where you have the Avot, which are, by Shabbat, it's the Avot Melachot, which will get up to the 39 Melachot, and Toladot, you have derivatives of those Melachot, so therefore it says Gadol. So too by Shvi'it. By Shvi'it, you also have Avot and Toladot. Rashi says the Avot by Shvi'it are Zriya, Tzira, Zmira, Ubitzira, Dichtivan, that are written in the Psukim. Those are the Melachot that are mentioned by Shvi'it in the Torah. Therefore, they get the categorization of an av melacha. Anything that's not written in the Torah is considered to be a derivative of those four items in terms of avodat hakarka. It's interesting to note, it's not our topic right now, is that there is a fifth melacha that is written in the Torah, and it's machloket rishonim, whether this really has an isur d'orait on shvit, and that's harisha. Harisha is mentioned in the psukim, machloket rishonim, as to whether there's an isur d'orait of harisha on shvit. Rashi over here does not include Harisha as one of those enumerated, so that might give us an indication as to Rashi's feeling about Harisha on Shvi'it. So that's why by Shabbat and Shvi'it it does that, but by Maaser, delepe avot v'toladot, there's no such thing as an av and a toldah, lotana klal gadol, then it's not called a klal gadol. Now the truth is, you could suggest that there are avot and toladot by Maaser, because you're going to argue that the avot are that which are written in the Torah, the toladot are those that which are added de rabbanan. They're only added rabbinically. Because with regards to maser, it's only the gan tirosh v'yitzar that's chayav min haTorah. That is grains, olives, olive oil, grapes, and wine that are chayav maser min haTorah. Min derabanan, you also chayav maser on peirot and yerek, on fruits and on vegetables. That's only rabbinic in nature. There are some rishonim that believe that peirot ha'ilan is also midoraita, but the majority don't, and clearly everybody believes yerek vegetables are midrabanan. So you could have argued that you have the avot and toledot ba ma'aser as well, but the Gemara doesn't do that at this stage. It doesn't think that that's a reason to call something an av and a toledah. So now the Gemara says, ula bar kapara. That's a nice explanation, but what are you going to do for bar kapara? The tani kla godo be ma'aser. He had a different girsa in Masechet Ma'aserot, and he does have kla godo written there. My avot, umay toledot ika. But avot and toldot are there. Again, I gave you a suggestion. There could be. Gemara obviously does not accept that as a suggestion. So, el alav hainu taima. This is the reason. The reason is that gadol establishes a hierarchy. Gadol means I'm bigger than something else. Not in reference to itself. And so far we've considered that kla gadol to be self-referential, which means that there's something in Shabbat that is greater than something else in Shabbat. So I have a kla gadol here because I have another kla in the Mishnah. Peshvit, I have a kla gadol because I have another kla in the Mishnah. What the Gemara is suggesting now is that it's not in reference to Shabbat. When I say Kalal Gadol in Shabbat, it means that it's greater than something outside of Shabbat. When I say Kalal Gadol by Shvi'it, it means it's greater than something outside of Shvi'it. And if I say Kalal Gadol by Maaser, according to Bar Kapara, that means there's something, it is a hierarchy above something else outside of Maaser. And that's what the Gemara is going to explain. Gadol on Shosha Shabbat, Yoter Mishal Shvi'it. The punishment by Shabbat is greater than the punishment of Shvi'it. De'ilu Shabbat ita ben betalush ben bemechubar. Shabbat applies both to something that's detached as well as something that is attached. De'ilu Shvi'it betalush leta bemechubar ita. Shvi'it, something that is detached, there's no din of Shvi'it. Something that is attached, there is a din of Shvi'it. The way Rashi explains this is, coming into Shvi'it. As you enter into Shvi'it, anything that is detached has no kedushat Shvi'it. Doesn't have any application. If you picked, anything that's picked, taken off the tree, out of the land before Shvi'it comes in, has no kedushat Shvi'it, is not affected by Shvi'it at all. Whereas, anything that is mechubar lekarka, anything that's attached to the ground upon entering in Shvi'it, will have issues of Shvi'it. Whether it's avodat karka, whether it's kedushat peirot Shvi'it, it will have an issue. As opposed to Shabbat. On Shabbat, it's irrelevant if something's detached or attached coming into Shabbat, because we have melachot in both areas. You have melachot with regards to items that are attached, you're not allowed to harvest, you're not allowed to cut, now that is sever on Shabbat. And then we also have melachot, if something's already severed. If you have the grain out, you're not allowed to winnow it. You're not allowed to knead it. There are melachot that apply to things that are already attached to the ground. Already detached from the ground. So that is the way Rashi separates between the two, between that which is true by Shabbat and not true by Shvi'it. Tosafot doesn't like that explanation. He has reasons for whatever it is that he's explaining. Because he says Rashi is really talking about Erev Shvi'it going into Shvi'it, and Erev Shabbat going into Shabbat, which doesn't seem to be what the Gemara is addressing over here. Well, it's a klal, yeah, well, we have to get there. We didn't get to the Shvi'it part yet. This is so far establishing what the hierarchy is of Shabbat. The klal gadol of Shabbat makes it greater than Shvi'it. You're right, there's also a klal gadol by Shvi'it, which have to make it greater than something else. That'll be the next stage in the Gemara. So now, Ela Nira Lari, Demide da Achila, Delo Shaycha Leinyan Shabbat, gadol Shabbat, lo mishvit, v'lo mimaser. When we're talking about things that are about achila, there's no reason to say by Shabbat that it's bigger than shvit or maser. Ela kamar, gadol Shabbat mishvit, di isur malachot itnehu, ben betalush, ben mechubar, v'lo isur malachot tishvit, mechubar ita betalush leta. The way Tosafot defines it is that when it comes to the malachot themselves, it is true on Shvi'it. If you entered into Shvi'it, something's in the ground, and you detach it on Shvi'it, it still has issues of Shvi'it. It has Kedushat Shvi'it, that item. So there are issues of Shvi'it that persist even after something is detached from the ground. So that's what's preventing everybody from saying the simple thing, which is Shabbat applies to both things that are attached and detached. Shvi'it only applies to the things that are attached to the ground. That's just not true. Shvi'it applies to things that are on the ground, but also applies to things that are detached, because they retain Kedushat Shvi'it when they're picked. And then they have rules with regards to Peirot Shvi'it. So what Tosafot does is he narrows the definition of where they're differentiating. He says, we're only talking about malachot. We're not talking about eating. We're not talking about food items. We're not talking about peirot shvi'it. We're simply talking about the malachot, doing the melachot that are asur. By Shabbat, the melachot apply to things that are bechubar and things that are detached. That is not true by Shvi'it. By Shvi'it, the melachot of Shvi'it that are listed in the Torah, Zriya, Ktsira, Zmira, Betzira, only apply to things that are mechubar lekarka. Working the ground only has application when something is attached to the ground, when there's something growing on the ground or growing out of the ground. So that is why, with regards to Shvi'it, it is on a lower level than Shabbat. Because in the world of melachot, Shabbat has this that is in excess or more chamur than that which is on Shvi'it, that the melachot of Shabbat have application to things that are mechubar and things that are talush, whereas by Shvi'it, the melachot of Shvi'it, not the din of Shvi'it, but melachot of Shvi'it, only apply to that which is mechubar lekarka, not that which is talush. So now, to Yechiel's question, which is, v'gdolon shashel Shvi'it, yoter min ha-maser. What's the klal gadol that is by Shvi'it? That means that there's a higher kli by Shvi'it as well. Shvi'it exceeds ma'aser. And that's what it is. So you have Shabbat exceeding Shvi'it, then you have Shvi'it exceeding ma'aser. How does it exceed ma'aser? Deilu Shvi'it ita ben b'machal adam, ben b'machal behema. Shvi'it applies equally to food items for humans, or human consumption, as well as food items for animal consumption. We have the psukim talk about the behema chayas asadeh, that the application, whether here again it's perot Shvi'it, kedushat Shvi'it, or even working items that have to do with ma'achal behema. Vilu ma'aser b'machal adam ita b'machal behema leta. Ma'aser only applies to food items that are for human consumption. The food items are made for animal consumption. They do not have a chiyuv ma'aser. If you change your mind, if you originally pick it for human consumption, change to animal consumption, then you might have a chiyuv ma'aser. It's only when, if you grew it specifically and harvested specifically for animals, there is no din of ma'aser. But what about Bar Kapara? Bar Kapara said that he also has klal gadol b'maser, which means that maser sits above something else. What's that? Gadol on shoshu maser, you tell Michel Peya. Dilu maser ita. By maser applies to teina v'yerek, applies to figs and to vegetation, vegetables. Dilu peya leta b'teina v'yerek. On the other hand, peya does not apply to teina v'yerek. This is what raises the question beforehand. Truthfully, maser by teina v'yerek is only a din de rabbanon. And here you see that at a din de rabbanan, they're differentiating. They're saying, well, the maser is of a higher level than peya because of this din de rabbanan. This din de rabbanan that maser applies to teina v'yerek, that's true there, but not by peya. So that's why I raised with you before the possibility that the Gemara doesn't entertain, which is by maser. Why can't you say the avot are those that are deraita and the toladot are those things that are derabanan? You see that the Gemara here entertains, deals with the rabbanans. It considers that to be a differentiating factor between maser and peya. Titznan, we have a mishnah, klal amru b'peya. What is chayav in peya? Peya is leaving the corner of the field over. You're not allowed to harvest the final corner of the field, and it's left over for the aniim. What qualifies, or what are the qualifications for items that are required to have peya taken for them? Kol shu ochel has to be edible. Vinishmar, it has to be able to be stored. V'gidulo min aretz, has to grow from the ground. V'likikudoto ke'achat, it has to be harvested at one time. U'machniso l'kiyum, and it can be placed into storage. I'm sorry, the word nishmar before means that it is guarded. People do not just leave it. It doesn't things that grow wild. It's something that's grown or domesticated. And machniso l'kiyum is that it's something that is put into storage. Those items are chayab b'peya. Now, the Gemara will go through. What does that mean? Ochel. Something that is food, items, edible, the mute svichi stis vikotza. This is to exclude svichim are aftergrowths of stis vikotza is woad and matter. These are roots that are used for dyeing purposes. So they are grown for their dye. They're not grown for eating or food stuff or being edible. They're simply grown to be used as dyes. Those will not be chayav in peya because they are not classified as ochel. Vinishmar. Nishmar means, again, that it's domesticated, it's grown in a premeditated manner. The mutei hefker, that includes things that grow wild. Things that grow wild, or things that are not owned, do not have a dinin masir. V'gidulo min haaretz, has to grow from the ground. The meutei kmeimu pitriot, that comes to exclude mushrooms and fungi that are grown. The Gemara believes here that they draw their sustenance from the air. They do not draw their sustenance from the ground. They might grow on the ground. They might grow on the surfaces of the rocks. But they're not drawing their sustenance or their nutrition from the ground. They draw it from the air. That's why the brachot that we make on mushrooms and truffles are shakol niyeh bidvaro. Because we don't call them borei pri hadama. For that same reason, they're not going to be chayav in peah. Vili kitato keachat. It's harvested in one shot. Lemutei teina. That it comes to exclude figs. Figs that grow on the trees, they do not all ripen at the same time. So therefore, its harvest extends over a large period of time. You don't go out there and say, all the figs are coming off today. As opposed to other items where you harvest the entire field or entire section of the field in one shot. Teinim, you have to wait for each one of them to ripen, and then you go and you take it off. It can be stored. This is a major factor in their time, which is the muteyerek, is vegetables. Vegetables were all eaten fresh and freshly picked. Without refrigeration, there is no way to have vegetable beyond probably like 3 days. Everything that you had to be freshly picked and eaten right away, because there's no way to store vegetables. The only way to store our vegetables is to pickle them and to do something of that effect to preserve them over long periods of time. So yerek is not something that you put into the key and put into the silo to store. And therefore, it's going to be excluded from peah. By maser, we have a Mishnah that says, klal amru b'maser, what is chayav in maser? Koshu okel, v'nishmar, v'gidulo min aretz. So it has three out of the five qualifications from the previous Mishnah, which is that it has to be edible, has to be nishmar, has to be something that you grow in a domestic manner, not that is wild. And gedulo min aretz, it goes from the ground. That's chayav maser. The ilu, the two that are excluded are, that they're not mentioned here, the kito keachat, that is harvested in one shot, umachniso de kiyum, it has to be put into storage. Lotznan, those are not written. What was excluded by those two items? The kito keachat excluded teinim, and machniso de kiyum excluded yerek. So those two items are not excluded from maser. So Maser has, over Peah, these additional two categories of items that will be Chayav in Maser, they're not our Chayav in Peah. So now the Gemara changed the meaning of Klal Gadol here, not to be in reference, again I said self-referential, where it's saying that there's something bigger, a Klal here, as opposed to the other Klal that's mentioned in this category, but rather it's establishing a hierarchy. Klal Gadol by Shabbat puts it on the top of the category, and that's bigger than Shvit. Shvit has a Klal Gadol because it's greater than Maser. Maser, according to Bar Kappara, that has Klal Gadol, is also considered Klal Gadol because it's greater than Peah. So that just shows you, Klal Gadol tells you that there's something about this category, this mitzvah, that sits above another mitzvah that would be somewhat similar to it. So now the Gemara continues. Rav Shmuel d'Amrei Tavayu. So Rav and Shmuel both say, Matnitan b'tinok sh'nishba ben anachrim, v'gersh nitgayer l'ben anachrim. That our Mishnah. Now, remember, in our Mishnah, the first case was a case where he didn't know about Shabbat. He had no idea about Shabbat. How is it possible that someone has no clue about Shabbat? When we say that he forgot Shabbat, what do you mean? Who forgets Shabbat? Who doesn't know about Shabbat that we can say that when he forgot it, he like forgot it forever? And therefore, all the Shabbatot are one Aveira. All the Melachot are all one Aveira because he just didn't know about Shabbat. So Rav Shmuel explained to us that our Mishnah is talking about a case, B'tinok sh'nishba l'ben agoyim. A young child that was taken captive when he was young and grew up amongst non-Jews. He had no clue. He was never taught about Shabbat. That's how that case takes place. Or someone who converted amongst the non-Jews. Now, obviously, you can't convert amongst the non-Jews. In order to convert, you need three people. You need a Beit Din. So as Tosafot explains, he converted in front of a Beit Din, in front of three, and that was it. But they never taught him about Shabbat. They never gave him the information he needed. And so then he just continues to be in his own world over there. And doesn't know anything about Shabbat. Aval, someone who was not in either one of those categories, which is Hikir, Ulsof Shachach. He once knew about Shabbat. He was taught once in his life, but then it didn't stay with him for very long. Chayav akol Shabbat b'Shabbat. He will automatically be dropped into that second category. So automatically into the second category where you're going to be chayav on all the Shabbatot. It's not our Mishnah. Ashokeach Hikar Shabbat. Someone who forgets Ikar Shabbat. What does that mean, Ikar Shabbat? Lav, Michlal Dehavyele, Yediyami Ikara. To forget, you must have known. You can't forget something that you never knew. So if the Mishnah begins in that first category and says that he forgot something, that means he knew it. Lo, my kol ha-shukheach Ikar Shabbat, ta'yishukhuach mimenu Ikra Shal Shabbat. It's not like we would say that he forgot Ikar Shal Shabbat, but he was never given the information about Ikar Shabbat. It was never made known to him, the Ikraim of Shabbat. Aval, but Hikir L'Sof Shechach, Mai, If he did know about Shabbat and then forgot it, what would be the din? Chayav al kol Shabbat v'Shabbat. Then he'd be chayav on every Shabbat, meaning that he'd fall into the second category of our Mishnah. So Gemara says, well, if that's the case, why don't you refine the Mishnah now? Because you could have had a more nuanced distinction. Right now we said category one is where he doesn't know about Shabbat at all. Category two is where he knew about Shabbat, and then he forgot about it. He forgot about Shabbat this week. He didn't remember that it was Shabbat this week. Why don't you say it like this? You could be in a case where Adatana Yodea Yikar Shabbat, Vasam Lachot Arbe, B'Shabbatot Arbe, Chayav Akol Shabbat B'Shabbat, which is the second category. Litne, let him make this differentiation, which is Hikir Ulubsov Shachach, V'Kosh Kenha, that if he knew about Shabbat and then forgot it, and then certainly the case where he clearly was aware of Shabbat, he just forgot this week or he forgot that it was Shabbat, that you could have made it that the first category says like this. This is for someone who never knew about Shabbat, was never taught about Shabbat. But if someone once knew about Shabbat, was taught when he was a little kid and then totally left, he never remembers at all, that already drops into the second category. Once I know that, of course I know the category that's brought in the Mishnah in the second category. The second category in the Mishnah is for someone who's knowledgeable, knows about Shabbat, he just happened to forget this week, he forgot a number of weeks that it was Shabbat, for whatever reason. He doesn't know it's Shabbat. But that is obvious after you've made such a nuanced distinction about the difference between someone who never knew about Shabbat and someone once knew one time about Shabbat. So why don't we do that? So Mara says that's exactly what the Mishnah does. Ma ayodei ikar Shabbat. What is someone who knows Ikar Shabbat? The second category begins, it says, Ayodei Ikar Shabbat, Misha Yodea Ikra Shal Shabbat V'Shachaka. Someone who once knew about Shabbat and then totally left him, he learned him when he was 4 years old and he hasn't heard about it since. That's exactly what that second category is. You read it as saying, no, this is someone who's aware of Shabbat and then happened to forget it this week or next week or a couple of weeks. That's not the right way to read it. When it means you knew about, when you knew about Shabbat and then you forgot, you know what that means? That means that he once knew about it. One time in his life he knew about it and then he was forgotten from him. Aval, so now the Gemara moves to the third category. Avalo shachacha. If it wasn't the case, my, what would be the din? Chayav al kol melacha v'melacha. Then you would be, listen, you would be chayav on every melacha. Is that really, now, again, if you're dropping down, what we're suggesting now is that the first case in the Mishnah, the case where it was a tinok shenishba ben agoyim, he knew nothing. Second case is a case where he once knew about Shabbat for, you know, a short period of time and then it's gone. So then, the third category now would, what the Gemara is suggesting, be a case where he did know about Shabbat, and he just happened to forget this week that it was Shabbat, or he forgot a couple of weeks that it was Shabbat. But after being very knowledgeable about Shabbat, then he forgets about it. Well, if that's the case, why did our third category, how do we put the third category together? We said the third category is a case where he knows it's Shabbat, he just happened to forget it was a melacha. Well, don't go there. Make it into a case where he knows it's Shabbat, and he happens to forget the whole Shabbat. He'll still be chayav al kol melacha melacha.
Why would the melacha change there?
Now, the Gemara is making
The thing is, because you drop down a category, you're
going to
change the halacha, but why?
Okay, so that, the Tosfot and Rashi argue about that point, why it is. Rashi says, you can look, it's the second Rashi here on the Amud, and he says, Dal kochacha, you have a sphere lay, deinu chayav elachat, the whole Shabbat v'Shabbat, have a mitnei hochi. Because if he really thought you're only chayav for every Shabbat when it comes to this case, where he's knowledgeable about Shabbat, and he just happens to forget this week, it should have been written explicitly. The fact that it doesn't write it in the Mishnah means that it automatically has to drop down to the next category. If you wrote in this category number two is a case where he, when he was 4 years old, he knew about Shabbat, and that's it. That's a category where he brings one korban for every Shabbat, then it's not obvious, according to Rashi, that the next case where he was knowledgeable his whole life about Shabbat and happens to forget 2 or 3 weeks that it's Shabbat, that would not be in the same category. It would automatically drop down. And if it didn't drop down halachically, then the Mishnah should have included it. Tosafot says, I don't understand that. The Gemara says that if I know this, which is the more chamor case, then certainly by the other case, it would also be the halacha. So if I know the case where he knew when he was 4 years old, he's chayav on every Shabbat, and certainly in a case where he was very knowledgeable and he forgot every Shabbat, it should be the case. So Tosafot says that's not the reason why the Gemara says that it has to be that he's chayav al kol melacha melacha here. Ella, he says here, l'hachi perishu, m'ktani chayav al kol Shabbat v'Shabbat. V'lo k'tani eino chayav ella al kol Shabbat. Hava mashma, v'lo al kol melacha melacha. Tosafot says the formulation is in the, could have been in the positive or the negative. The Mishnah could have picked how to formulate this. It could say, Chayav al kol Shabbat v'Shabbat. That's what our Mishnah does say. You're Chayav on every Shabbat. But it could have said, Eino Chayav el al kol Shabbat. You were not chayav except for the Shabbatot themselves. In that case, it would be mashma lo al kol malacha al malacha. It would mean that, yes, Shabbat, not malacha. Mashma de ikar matinitan chiyuva atal yashminan. That the Temple teaches that our mission is not after the what you're not chayav for. Our mission is after telling you what you are chayav for. And therefore, chayav al kol Shabbat v'shalat, v'lo b'tura, denu chayav al kol malacha al malacha. So that's what Tosafot suggests. Tosafot suggests the formulation of the Mishnah is being your chayav in every Shabbat comes to tell you not that you're chayav in Shabbat to the exclusion of the melachot, just coming to teach you that you are chayav in Shabbat, but you also could be chayav in the melachot. What would that case be? That would be the case where you knew Shabbat your whole life and then you forgot about it for a couple of weeks. Then you'd be chayav not only on the Shabbat, you also chayav on the melachot because the formulation of the Mishnah. So Rashi says it happens to be that it's a diuk out of the second case, which says that that's the case, yes, then the other case must not be that way. Tosafot says it's the formulation in the form of you are chayav, not that you're not chayav. And that formulation says chayav and doesn't come to exclude you from the melachot. That means that this other case where you are chayav, you could be chayav on melachot as well. Right.
First of all, that's a big chiddush. It's a big chiddush that you knew it when you were four, and now you've forgotten it. Basically, now if you've forgotten it, and each week is a hellel, there's no new hellel. So it's a big chiddush to say that you're chayav on every Shabbat.
Correct.
First, why would you say, Eino chayav al kol malacha al chamin? The chiddush is that you're chayav on each Shabbat.
No, you would say, Eino chayav al kol Shabbat Shabbat. He says you can formulate it that way. Eino chayav, ela al kol Shabbat v'Shabbat.
No, but that's implying that we would have had a
havamina to melacha. So I agree with you. It's more difficult. The Gemara is going to go to your position, which is you're right. That is, it's not so simple. And Rav and Shmuel, we're going to rework Rav and Shmuel in a second. You're right. Tosafot and Rashi are here trying to explain the Gemara's havamina now, where they do have such a vision. Right. Either one of the diukim is not easy. Whether you do it according to Rashi or Tosafot, it's not clear why the Gemara automatically assumes that if you have a category, the next category must drop down to the next halachic category. And they're both trying to fish to figure out why is it the Gemara assumes that that must be the case.
That was part one. Part two would be, I would think, lehecha, if you are, let's say you are saying in the four-year-old category, let's say you did say, ein chayav alkom lacham lacha, that would imply that as soon as you step a little bit out of the boundaries of this case, then you would move to every melacha melacha. Right. But the fact that it stated the way that it did, that you're chayav al Shabbat Shabbat Shabbat, leaves room to have another step.
Right, you would have been medayik the other way. Okay,
so
you would have medayik the opposite of Tosfot, right? All right, that you would have said it should be the opposite of the way.
I don't even understand what
because Tosfot formulates it slightly differently than you. He says Eino chayav ela al kol Shabbat b'Shabbat. He doesn't formulate like you're saying Eino chayav al kol melacha melacha. He says yeah, he's saying that it's Eino chayav ela al kol Shabbat b'Shabbat. So he doesn't have that
Ela kol Shabbat b'Shabbat, but implying that we had a havamina that it could have been worse.
Maybe, right?
Which
or,
means that if you move this category over a little bit more,
right,
then we are going to make you chayav al kol malacha malacha.
That's exactly what the Gemara says. That's the Gemara's question. That's exactly the Gemara's question. Then that means that if you knew about Shabbat your whole life and then you forgot for a couple of weeks, then you would be chayav al kol malacha malacha. That's exactly the Gemara's question.
All right.
Again, if this is true, then let's make a new, more nuanced distinction. Why don't you say, right, say that someone who knows Ikar Shabbat, and certainly this case, I mean that if you knew about Ikar Shabbat, and you only forgot about it later on in life, then that would be Mechayiv al kol malacha malacha. Certainly the case where he knows it's Shabbat, and he just happens to be forgetting the melachot, and certainly you'll be chayav on kol malacha malacha. Ela, matznitan, our mission must be, mishihikera l'sof shachach. So now here we undermine the whole assumption here. The assumption until now said that the first case in the Mishnah was a case of tinok shenishba ben agoyim. We're rejecting that. The first case in the Mishnah is a case where he once knew. When he was 4 years old, he knew about Shabbat, and then he forgot about it. That's the first case. So, ud Rav Shmuel nami, and Rav Shmuel, that's what they said. Shihikera l'sof shachach na dami. That's the case also. That's the case where you are chayav. V'halchi itmar. And this is what they said, Rabbi Shmuel. Damrei tervayu. Afilu tinok shenishba ben anachrim. V'ger shenitgayar ben anachrim. Kishayikir. Ulusov shochach. Dami v'chayav. That a tinok is nishba ben anachrim, or a ger shenit gayar ben anachrim, they're not coming and saying, that's the category where you're chayav one korban. They're saying that that fits into the category where you are chayav one korban. What's the main case of being chayav one korban? That's a case where you knew when you were 4 years old, and then you forgot about it. That's the main category of where you chayav one korban for all the Shabbatot. What they come to do and say is something that you would have thought is patur. Instance, a tinok shnishba ben agoyim. Or gershin gar ben anachrim. They're saying that fits into that category. It's still a part of that category. And therefore, all of those cases will be cases where you bring one korban. So now we no longer have the problem, because that'll be the first category. In order to get to the second category, you must be talking about a case where someone knew about Shabbat till the last couple of weeks, and then he forgot about Shabbat. That'll be the case where you bring on a kol Shabbat v'Shabbat. And the last case in the Mishnah was the case where he knows that Shabbat, he just forgot about the Machot. So what they did was, they said that that first case includes all of those items in the first case. But then we have someone who argues, which is Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish, Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Damri Tavayu, Davke Hikir L'Sof Shachach. That the case in the Mishnah is only a case where he knew about it when he was four and then forgot about it. That's a case where you bring a Korban El every Shabbat. Aval Tinok Shnishba Ben Anachrim, V'Ger Shnitzgar Ben Anachrim, Patur L'Gamrei. You don't have to bring anything. If you never knew about Shabbat, you don't bring a korban, as Rashi says, because Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Omer Mutar Anusu. Someone says it's Mutar, it's considered to be Anus. It's a complete accident for him. There's no way he should have known or could have known about this. Shkagah involves knowing and forgetting. Here, he never knew. He thinks that it's totally Mutar. How could you bring a korban for something like that that becomes Anus? That means that you're in the category of Anus Rachman Apatre. Torah says you're Patur when it comes to Anus. And therefore, this case where this child never knew about Shabbat, he's going to be patur legamrei. So everybody agrees with regards to our Mishnah. The cases in our Mishnah, both Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish and Rabbi Shmuel agree that the first case in the Mishnah is a case where you knew when you were 4 years old, and then you forgot about it. The second case in the Mishnah is where you know about Shabbat, and then you recently forgot about Shabbat. And the third case in the Mishnah is where you know it's Shabbat, and you forgot about the melachot. Everybody agrees to that. Their machloket is, in that first case, where it's the 4-year-old who forgets, what else can be included there? Rav and Shmuel say, Gershon Itgayer ben Nachrim, and Tinok Shnishba is also in that category, that first category, and therefore you'll be Chayab one Korban. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish say that's not. That's another category altogether, and you're Patur Legamrei for Tinok Shnishba and Gershon Itgayer ben Nachrim. Meitevei, we have a problem. Klal Agadol Amru B'Shabbat. They said Klal Agadol B'Shabbat, Kol HaShukheach Ikar Shabbat, Vassam Lachot Arbei B'Shabbatot Arbei, Enu chayav elachat. Same as our Mishnah so far. But then, the Braitha goes, Ketzad, what's the case? Tinok, shenishba leben anachrim, v'ger shenitger ben anachrim, v'asam lachot arbei v'shabatot arbei, enu chayav elachatat achat. So here you go. You have it defining what the case, that first case in our Mishnah, I mean, here's a Braitha, but that first case is being defined by the Braitha as being a case of Tinok shenishba, as well as a ger shenitger ben anachrim. And it's saying you're still chayav achat, like Rav and Shmuel, not like Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. V'chayav akol dam, v'adam achat, v'alachelev achat, v'alavodazara achat, and every avera that involves a chiyuv karet, then you'll be chayav one korban v'shogeg, for any violation.
Every category of violation of karet,
yeah, that you could be, not just by Shabbat. V'adam, v'adchelev, each of these categories will require a single chatat over his entire life to be mechaper for it. Umunbaz poter. Munbaz there says, you're patur. V'kachaya munbaz dan lifnei Rabbi Kiva. Munbaz used to give his drasha before Rabbi Kiva, explaining why he was poter. Hoel, umezid karoi choteh. Someone who does something intentionally is called a choteh, a sinner. Shogei karoi choteh. Someone does something by accident, he's also classified as a choteh. Ma mezid shaita lo yudia. Just like by mezid, he has to have knowledge first. Av shogeg, shaitalo yudia. So too by shogeg, in order to be classified as a shogeg, you must have known and then forgotten. So Amar lo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, that's a really nice drasha, but if I take your drasha to the nth degree, what's going to happen? I'm going to say this. Hayni mosif al drecha. I'll do even better than you. Ima mezid shaitalo yudia b'shat maseh. By mezid, you have knowledge at the time that you're doing it. That's the definition of mezid. To do something intentionally means I know it's wrong and I'm doing it anyway. So just like by mezid, I have knowledge at the time I'm doing it. Af shogeg shaitalo yudia b'shat maser. So I'll say the same thing by shogeg, that I have yudia, I have knowledge at the time that I'm doing it, which obviously is impossible, because then it make it to mezid. But Rabbi Akiva is pointing out the absurdity of drawing a parallel between Shogeg and Mezid. You can't learn from Mezid to Shogeg. It doesn't make sense. Because if you took it to the extreme or the nth degree, you would come out with something that is impossible. You'd make Shogeg into Mezid. No, wait, that is, if you have a Mesorah for such a drasha, and here he's making it as basically a hekesh of some sort, that's saying, look, this is the way we define Mezid, so we're going to define creating a binyan av, that's how we're going to define Shogeg. We keep it saying, such a binyan, such a paradigm, using Mezid as the paradigm for Shogeg is just not right. You can't use it as a paradigm, there's a clear distinction between them, a difference between them. You're right, if we have a limud that is specific about a specific item, that can work. But over here, what he's trying to do is saying, Mezid's the paradigm, and I'm going to use that structure and bring it over to Shogeg, where he keeps saying, you can't do that.
He's saying that Shogeg, Kotim, exactly the same term as you spoke to them, means that they have something in common. What could they possibly have in common? The fact that you do that.
Well, but he's using it as a paradigm. There might be other things that they both get punished. That's also a common denominator. I'm saying, so you can't argue that that his position. You could then, but you know what?
I don't care to argue that.
Right. Like this. But anyway, Amar lo, Hain. Mumba says, you're right, Rabbi Akiva. That's unbelievable. He says, I agree 100% with what you just said. Says, what do you mean? If you agree with my limud, that means that you just made your shogeg into a mezid. Because it means that he has knowledge when he's doing the thing b'shogeg accidentally. That's not an accident anymore. That's a mezid. The Gemara will come back and discuss this. But Mumbaz obviously has a different understanding of what shogeg is now. Because he clearly believes if you know what you're doing at the time of shogeg, you're still a shogeg. What's that case? The Gemara will get to, we'll get that in 1 minute. Tani Mia, why do we bring this Braita down? Not to discuss Munbaz and Rabbi Akiva, we brought this Braita down because in the beginning when it said Ketzad, when it says Ketzad, Tinok, Shinishba ben Agoyim, we said that is what the case of bringing one Chatat is. Bishwa la Rav Shmuel Neicha. For Rav Shmuel, that works well because they think Tinok Shinishba ben Agoyim and Gershnit Gayer ben Anachrim is Chayav Chatat Echad. So it works well. Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, Kashal, Birkin and Shlokish, how could they argue on a Braita on the Tano? We have a Tano here who clearly states or qualifies what our Mishnah is talking about. Our Mishnah is talking about a case of Tinok Shenishpa, and it says it's Chayav. So I'm going to call Shlokish, wait a minute. Lo, Mika, Munbaz, wait a minute. We got Munbaz, the Potter. We had another Tano on that Braita we just brought, Munbaz, who says you are Patur in that case. Anand, Arminan, good Munbaz. We're going to hold like Munbaz. You're right. We are Amoraim, so we can't argue on Tanaim. But if we find a Tana that supports our position, we're fine. We have a Tana in this break that supports our vision, and that's Munbaz. And we're going to subscribe to Munbaz's position. So my time of the Munbaz. Let's understand, what is Munbaz's limud? That he compares Shogeg to Mezid. It says, Dichtiv, Torah achat yelachem, lo ose bishkaga. It says that there'll be one Torah for all those that do bishkaga. Besomichle, and juxtaposed to that, it says, v'nefesh asher taseh biyad rama. Someone who does it intentionally. Mekish shogeg the mezid. Ma mezid shaitalo yudia. Just like by mezid, you have to have knowledge at one point in time. I mean, there it's all the way through the action too. Av shogeg shaitalo yudia. So too by shogeg, it means that he had knowledge at one point. Not a case where he never had any information about this item. Umar says, Rabbanan hai Torah chat my avdile. What are they going to do with this Torah chat, this juxtaposition? We buy loho, klamakri le Rabbi Shuv ben Levi libre. The way that Rabbi Shimon ben Levi taught his son, Torah chat yelachem lo se bishkaga, says that there will be one Torah for all those do bishkaga. V'chtiv v'chi tishgu v'lo tasu et kol mitzvot ha'ele. V'chtiv v'nefesh asher ta'ase biyad rama. Hukshu kulam avodah zarah. Everything is now compared to avodah zarah. This is a parshav shogeg that is found in Parshat Shlach. It's not clear what it's talking about. You can see here the pasuk begins v'chi tishgu v'lo tasu et kol mitzvot ha'ele. If you make a mistake and do all of these mitzvot, what are all of these mitzvot? It's a dangling modifier. It says Eile, but never tells you what the Eile is. The Gemara says about that, I'll tell you what it is. What is Kol HaMitzvot Eile? Which mitzvah is the same as all the mitzvot HaTorah? Shakul Kol HaMitzvot HaTorah. I'll tell you what that is. That's Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is such a fundamental part of our belief that is a mitzvah that if you violated it, it's Kilu Kafar Bakol. So if you violated all the mitzvot HaTorah. So the Gemara there says that Parsha is talking about Avodah Zarah. And the Parsha of Parsha Shlach is telling you what you do when you have Shkaga, Avodah Zarah, and V'nefesh Asher Taseh B'Yad Ramah, when you do something intentionally by avodah zarah, what is the punishment? But the parsha began with a category that says Torah chat b'chol osim shkaga. It's one Torah for all the shkagot. So what the chachamim are suggesting is Torah chat tells me that all shkagot have the same Torah as avodah zarah, and that's what the Torah chat means over here. That's the juxtaposition of that Torah chat to Yaseh B'Yad Ramah. It's come to teach you those that dinim that are true by avodah zarah. We're going to take that and apply it to all categories of shogeg. What does that mean? Malalan dvar shechayim vina uzdono koreit v'shigigato chataat the nefesh asher taseh b'yad ramah. What's the punishment there? Koreit. The punishment for avodah zarah is koreit. When it's done without edim v'atra, then it's skila. But without that, it's koreit. So therefore, in a case where you have a uzdono koreit, if you do it intentionally, you're chayav koreit, shigigo chataat, then you bring v'shogega chataat. Af kol davar shechayim vina uzdono koreit v'shigigo chataat. That's what teaches us that when do you bring a korban chatat? Korban chatat is only applicable for the kreitot that are mentioned in Masechet Kreitot. When you have a kreitot, something that is chayav kareit, then when you do it bishogeg, you're going to be chayav a chatat. So for all of the negative commandments that have a chayav kareit associated with them, that you will bring, if you do a bishogeg, a korban chatat. Where's that learned from? That's learned from here, of this Torah chat, the juxtaposition of the shogeg to the mezid. So, vela munbaz, shigiga b'mai. So this is the question that, when we read it, you look at me, Moni asks, what do you mean? How do you have a possible case of shkaga anymore? You said here that you have yidi'ah by mezid, and you have yidi'ah by shogeg. That means that at the time I'm doing the maaseh, I know what's going on. So how do you have a shogeg case like that? You have to forget something. You have to make a mistake about something. What's the mistake he made? He forgot, or he didn't know, that you're chayav korban for this act. He knew this act was wrong. He just didn't know that you have to bring a korban if you do this act. So according to Munbaz, that is sufficient to be called a shogeg. Even though you know what you're doing, you know you're doing is wrong. Nevertheless, the fact that you don't know you're chayav korban for it, that's enough to be called a shogeg. According to Munbaz, you are. This is Munbaz's position. Munbaz, who says that when you have a yediyah b'maseh, you have a yediyah at the time of the maseh, you are chayav. That's this case. You know that you're doing, you just don't know it's a korban. V'rabanan, obviously say, shigaga korban, lo shmei shigaga. Just forgetting about the korban, that's not called a mistake. That's not sufficient to be called a shigaga. So Rabbanan shigaga b'mai. According to Rabbanan, what's called shogeg, according to Rabbanan? They obviously don't subscribe to Munbaz's position, so what is their position? Ryokhan Amar, kem shigag b'karet. Alpha Pishesi Balav. Miokran says the Chumim believe that even though you know it's wrong, but you just don't know that it's Chayav Karet. That's enough to say that you're Shogeg, and that's bring a Korban for that. So even though you're doing something that you know is wrong, but because you didn't know that it's Chayav Karet, that's enough. Rabbi Shalkish Amar Ashish Gog Balav Ubi Karet. No, you have to not know either of these. You have to not know that it's wrong. And you have to not know that you're chayav karet. Obviously, the two come hand in hand. If you don't know what's wrong, you also don't know that you're chayav karet over here. But
yeah, that could be, you don't know what's wrong. Well, you know it's wrong, but you don't know what the punishment
is. Right, but that's already Rabbi Yochanan's. That's Rabbi Yochanan's position.
Well, it says the law did karet.
Yeah, but he doesn't know it's wrong, plus he doesn't know that it's chayav karet. So according to Reish Lakish, if you knew that it's wrong already, then you're already outside of the category of shkaga. That's Rabbi Yochanan's position. Yochanan's position is that you can know it's wrong, but just not know the punishment. Reish Lakish's position is you have to not know it's wrong in order to be a shogeg. More like what we think of a shogeg. You just don't know what, you don't know this is a wrong act that you're doing right now.
Well, the thing that one has to make sense of
why you're a shogeg here. Everything, you're forgetting something that makes you into a shogeg.
No, what I'm saying is, our position alone, we think of, there's something difficult, very difficult about it, which is that you have a between position where it was worse than if you brought a korban, yet you have no punishment. Weird. Because you didn't know that you're chayav karet, you didn't have edim v'atra. You didn't know that you're chayav karet, so you don't get any punishment at all, even though you knew it was wrong.
Right.
There's no punishment at all.
Because you're above shogeg, but below mezid. Right.
Exactly.
So you're in this.
It's a little bizarre. You know,
right. You're in this.
We have an explanation for it. So this actually makes that at least.
Right. Sense. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that would
either
be punishment.
Chayav, if you knew what you were doing, you're either chayav. Real punishment, or right. Chayav korban.
Right. If you don't know anything, then you're become an onus of some sort, and that's why you're patur. Right. The lowest form will be not punishable. Right. You can make sense out of it. Amar Rava, my time of Rav Shimon Lakish. What's the position of Rav Shimon Lakish based on? Amar Kra, Asher lo ta'asena v'ashem. says that ad shishgog b'lav v'karet. What is that? Shelo tasena v'shem. He does it v'shem, and he's guilty ad shishgog. That's the shkaga. The shkaga is he doesn't know what he's doing, and he doesn't know what he is ashamed for. He doesn't know what he is culpable for. So karet shuba. Rabbi Yochanan high crowd. Rabbi Shimon Lakish ma'avidlei. What's Rabbi Yochanan going to do with that pasuk? He doesn't think that's the right explanation of the pasuk because he thinks you only have to forget the punishment, not the fact that it's wrong. When it says that an Amaretz brings something, Amaretz, that's the person who's mentioned the pasuk who forgets. So that Amaretz comes prat mumar, someone who is a left the faith, someone who doesn't believe anymore. He can't bring a korban. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon Asher lo tasena v'ashem. He learns it out of this pasuk. Hashav mi yudiyoto mevi korban ashigato. Lo shav mi yudiyoto and mevi korban ashigato. How do you know that a mumar is excluded from being a korban? Chatat, because it says there that a person asher lo tasena v'ashem, that he didn't know. He didn't know about it. That's why he did the wrong thing. Had he known it was wrong, he wouldn't have done it. That's only true of someone who is a belief, is part of the faith. Someone who's a believer says, had he known it was wrong, he wouldn't have done it. But now that he forgot, that's why he did the wrong thing. But that's not true according to, for a mumar. If a mumar knew that it was wrong, he would have continued to do it. So that type of person is not going to bring a korban chatat or shugeg because he's not going to be chayav korban. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan does with the pasuk of Rabbi Shimon Lakish. He learns out that a mumar is patur from that pasuk. Obviously, Rabbi Shimon Lakish can learn it out of Miyam Aretz, brought the mumar. He can learn like the Tanakama. Rabbi Yochanan learns like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that it's learned out of the same pasuk that Rish Lakish brings to prove that shogeg is also by forgetting the fact that it's wrong, or not knowing that it's wrong. He says that pasuk I use for mumar, and therefore I don't have it available for your limud, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Okay, we'll stop over here.